Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the bread of life. Amen. Last week we had the feeding of the 5,000, and for the next 4 weeks we stay in the 6th chapter of John. That means every week we will hear Jesus compare himself to bread. This week we hear Jesus say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry." And we hear the story of Moses and the Israelites who've been freed from captivity in Egypt. They're in the wilderness, and they're hungry, which today we would call hangry, right? They are angry about being hungry. They are yelling at Moses, saying, "It would have been better had we just died in captivity in Egypt, because you brought us out here to starve to death." So God says, "I hear their complaints, Moses. Tell Aaron to tell them that I will provide for them. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread." So in the evening, a flock of quail arrive, and the Israelites know what to do. They have quail to eat. And in the morning, they find this stuff on the ground. It's like frost, but it doesn't melt like frost. It's flaky. It's like nothing they've ever seen before. And they ask, "What is it?" And Moses says, "It's the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." God keeps the promise. In the evening you'll have meat, and in the morning you will have bread, your fill of bread. That's the story of God and God's people. We get crabby or selfish or power hungry, and then God makes a promise and keeps it. And in this manna from heaven story, even after God has kept the promise, the people don't even actually recognize it. Oh, they might have known what to do with the quail, and then they went to bed satisfied, but the flaky stuff on the ground, what is it anyway, Moses? He says, "It's the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." God has kept the promise in a way that they don't recognize. Oh, in hindsight, when they're telling their grandchildren about the saving works of God and their people in the wilderness, then they probably said, "We were hungry and God provided quail in the evening, just like God said. And then when we woke up in the morning, there was this bread on the ground, flaky manna, and we ate our fill." I know that we relate to that. In hindsight, a year or two after something has happened, we can see where God was at work. A year or two or more after our divorce, we say things like, "God was ever present, filling my life with people who helped and supported me." But we might not remember, in hindsight, how we felt forgotten. Like God was very busy in other people's lives, but not ours. And while we were in the midst of the crisis, when God is sending us manna, we often look at it and say, what is it? And later we can tell people what Moses told them. It was the bread that the Lord had given me to eat. But we don't always know it when we're looking at it. I know you've experienced such things. I know I have experienced such things. You know, something like your beloved doctor retires. Hit a nerve. Your beloved doctor retires, forcing you to find a new one. You end up choosing from a random list of names at the medical practice, and you got a new doctor. A year later, you end up with a scary MRI scan, maybe. And your newish doctor says, oh, you know, I used to work at a practice with the preeminent brain surgeon in our state. Let me give her a call. When God promises to care for us with meat in the evening and bread in the morning, we might recognize the meat, but we really might not recognize the flaky manna bread on the ground. Likewise, when God promises to care for us in our wildernesses, we might recognize some of the things that God provides and not recognize others. We might look at our new doctor who doesn't know us well, who doesn't make us feel safe, like our beloved retired doctor could, and ask, what is it? And the answer is, it is the doctor the Lord has given to you. But Pastor Jennifer, do not make it that simple. Don't just use an example of a new doctor that's perfectly placed in someone's life who's going to need her. Don't leave it there because it's not enough. Because people don't always get the right doctor. People don't always get enough food. You don't have to look to third world countries for that. The Triad of North Carolina, our home, always ranks every year in the top 5 in the nation for food insecurity and food deserts. Our neighbors don't know for sure that they're going to eat the next meal. We know that we are the hands and feet of Christ in this world. We know that we are called to feed the hungry and visit the lonely and the scared. So sometimes the quail in the evening and the manna in the morning makes its way from the grocery store to your car, and from your car to that cart in the narthex, and from that cart in the narthex to Open Door Ministries, and from the shelves of Open Door Ministries into the hands of a hungry person. Sometimes the quail in the evening and the manna in the morning is cooked up at an elementary school and boxed up and delivered by a team of drivers that have mobile meals magnets on top of their cars so that a hungry person recognizes the manna when it stops in front of their home. Sometimes the quail in the evening and the manna in the morning has nothing to do with food that we eat to sustain life, but safety or being heard or not being alone or helping to pay a light bill. Seriously, the pastor's discretionary fund that I just told you about earlier that I get to use, the money that you give me to share with this community saves lives. It saves families. The quail in the evening and the manna in the morning is sometimes a car payment. Because if you lose your car, then you lose your job, and then you lose your apartment, and if you lose your apartment, you could lose your kids. Sometimes $200 stops that entire chain of events. And that's great ministry. And that's great, Pastor Jennifer. Those are excellent examples of God providing quail and manna through us. But sometimes it's bigger than that. Sometimes it's inoperable cancer. Sometimes it's racism that will not die. Sometimes it's mental illness that won't let a person rest even for one night. Sometimes it's HIV/AIDS epidemics that are sweeping through villages and communities. Sometimes it seems that God is not keeping God's promise. Sometimes we are certain we are actually dying in the wilderness. Sometimes we stand with the crowd who surround Jesus saying, "You want us to believe, but give us a sign so we can believe." Our ancestors, they had the quail and manna thing, right? It was a miracle in the midst of the wilderness. It was easy to believe after seeing a bona fide miracle. So what's our miracle? What's our manna in the wilderness, Jesus? And today in John's gospel, we hear Jesus say to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus is the quail in the evening and the manna in the morning. Jesus is the promise fulfilled. Jesus is the bona fide miracle. Jesus' love and life and death and resurrection hold us and save us in ways that sometimes make us say, "What is it?" And Jesus says, "It's salvation. It's forever. It's wine and bread that are my blood and body. It's water and word and promises made and kept. It's a family when you thought you didn't have one. It's forgiveness when you know you don't deserve it. It's new life when your old life is all hunger and all wilderness all the time. It's life, it's true life, big life, broken and blessed life, abundant life. It's life that death can't touch. When you come to the table in a few minutes and I place a piece of the bread of life in your hands, when I place a piece of Jesus in your hands, you will become what you eat, the body of Christ. You will become the bread from heaven, broken and blessed to bring abundant life to the world. You will know afresh that your baptism and God's promises kept have stitched you into the story of salvation forever. Amen.